This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
How we doing? Hope everyone's doing well. I know for all 7-8 Clippers fans out there, you're not doing well. The Lakers fans are doing well. Miami Heat fans are doing well. Celtics fans are probably a little frustrated after blowing a 12-point fourth quarter lead. I still think Boston wins that series, though. And I know Nuggets fans, they're on cloud nine. We'll talk some more Nuggets coming up in 20 minutes. Scott Hastings going to join us. Used to play for the Nuggets, did win a championship with the Pistons. Been a long time color analyst out there covering the Denver Broncos and also the Denver Nuggets, too. He used to call Broncos games. So maybe we'll ask about the Broncos, too. Because they're, man, my mind's still on the Broncos from Monday night. If you can't tell, I was a little bit emotionally invested in the Broncos game. Not because I'm a Broncos fan, not because I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, not because I had a lot of dinero on the game either. It was all because of fantasy implications. And I know, nobody cares about my fantasy team. You don't care. I'm starting not to care about my fantasy team. But when I was down 22 points and Noah Fant pulls off 16 points in the first half, I'm thinking I'm coming back when I had two players in play, Noah Fant and Brandon McManus. And still, I can't believe the incompetence of Vic Fangio down the stretch with the time management and also not taking the timeouts. And I can't believe the play calling of Pat Shurmur, which I can't believe the play calling of Pat Shurmur. I'm sick of this guy getting jobs. I'm sick of this guy with people throwing bouquets to him. The guy is a bad football coach. And he becomes a head coach, second time in his career. And then people go, oh, well, he's a really great offensive coordinator. Really? A great offensive coordinator. And sometimes there are great offensive coordinators, great defensive coordinators that don't become great head coaches. But when you tell me this guy's a great offensive coordinator, why didn't you go to Noah Fant in the second half? The dude was like Gronk in the first half, and you elected not to throw him the football. They targeted him once, and it was right at the end of the game in the second half. Connor Green, you know what I live my life by?
What's that?
Keep it simple, stupid. That's all Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur had to do. Keep it simple, stupid. And they didn't. They didn't. They made it even more complicated. And then after the game, we played in the news brief yesterday, which we'll do in a second. After the game, Vic Fangio, oh, well, this person went out of bounds, and this was an incomplete pass. You had time ticking off the clock with 45 seconds to go. Tennessee called the timeout with like 30 seconds to go. That should have been you. And you didn't do so. There's always something when you lose a game, and it happens. But then the explanations afterwards, and we'll play the Paul George audio once again, that's what really makes me lose my mind. And Fangio afterwards was a disgrace, and Paul George afterwards last night was a disgrace too. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Let's get to a little news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
I just got a great tweet from AverageGuy31. That should be my Twitter handle. average guy 26. That's what I should maybe change my Twitter handle to. He heard me freaking out earlier, screaming about playoff Pinocchio, Paul George, lying to us last night. Paul George on June 23rd. Here was the quote, courtesy of GIFD Sports. Paul George on June 23rd, quote, immediately we expected to come in and win it all. We didn't have no other, like, hey, this is going to take a year to get used to each other, close quotes. So that was Paul George on June 23rd. Let's hear Paul George last night after his team blew Game 5, blew Game 6, and blew Game 7. Didn't even show up in the second half of Game 7. And a little different tune that he tried to sing after the game.
The fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. We can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tale of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
That's embarrassing. Internally, it's not championship or bust. Really, Paul? You don't even believe that. You don't even believe that. Every time I keep on hearing that, it becomes more and more embarrassing. Once again, that's someone trying to get too cute after a game and come up with this philosophical, erudite explanation. Oh, internally, we didn't have championship or bust expectations. Lie, lie, lie. That is 1,000% a lie. That is 1,000% on the BS meter. You don't even believe that. I demand Paul George to be hooked up to a lie detector test, and I want to ask him this. Internally, did you believe this year that it wasn't a championship or bust? And he would go, hubbada, 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 and then the lie detector test would be going all the way up to 1,000. That's a lie. Let's hear from the head coach, Doc Rivers, who, man, I don't want to hear Doc Rivers is a great coach. Great human being, good person, good coach, won a championship. This is now three times in his career his teams that he's coached have blown a 3-1 lead. And this one doesn't get any more embarrassing than this because this team was expected at a bare minimum, to get to the Western Conference Finals. So let's hear from Doc Rivers where he said, the Clippers did not achieve their goal, even though internally, right, the goal was not championship or bust. Obviously, it was championship or bust. Let's hear from Doc.
I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it. But we didn't meet our expectations, clearly, because we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you for pointing out the obvious. Now go wake up, playoff Pinocchio. And tell playoff Pinocchio, not playoff P, playoff Pinocchio, to stop trying to sell us this crap that he was trying to sell us last night. And actually, do me a favor, Connor. Play me back the Paul George answer one more time.
The fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation.
Stop. Right there.
But I think
we didn't live up to the expectation. So even right there, he's telling you the expectation is championship or bust. Continue.
The fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally, we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. We can only get better the longer we stay together, and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tale of the tape of the season.
Bleep. Stop. Just stop. You should have just stopped after saying we didn't meet the expectations. Horrendous. Horrendous. Let's go to someone who's been great in the postseason. That's been Jamal Murray. Let's listen up to Jamal Murray saying he wants everyone to start taking the Nuggets seriously.
Oh, yeah. Better start giving this team some damn respect because we put in the work and we got a resilient team. And, you know, we should have been down 3-1, but, you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, you know, it was a big achievement. So I just want just to, you know, change that narrative. Y'all can finally start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
Throw some respect on his name. 40 points in Game 7. And how about his running mate, Nikola Jokic? 16 points, 22 rebounds, and 13 dimes. Next up, We go to a man last night that hit a big three, then also hit a big three-point play. However, the biggest play in Heat Celtics, you had historically, you think of great blocks, LeBron James block up against Andre Iguodala, and then Tayshaun Prince with the Pistons, his block up against Reggie Miller. Those are the first two blocks I think about when I think of big blocks on a big stage. Bam Adebayo, man, what he did last night as Jason Tatum rises up, you think it's going to be a thunderous slam. I still don't know how he made the block. I don't. Here is Bam Adebayo's teammate Jimmy Butler, the heart and soul of the Miami Heat, talking about Bam Adebayo's huge block in overtime.
That's a winning play, you know, putting your body on the line. And rotating the way that he did. We talk about it, we go through it over and over, but Bam's been our savior on that end so many different times throughout the year.
Let's get to the greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice. Here was Jerry Rice on 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area on players with the 49ers this past weekend in their loss to the Cardinals celebrating during the game when they haven't contributed yet.
Something that really, really got me heated yesterday, and I'm not going to call any names or anything like that. During a break, they were playing music, and we had certain guys dancing that hadn't done anything on the football field, that didn't have a reception or anything. That's not the standard of the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to dance, you want to be a dancer or do whatever, you shouldn't be wearing that uniform. You got to be productive. You got to contribute to the team. And if you can't do that, go do something else. That pissed me off. Niners are not about that. Now, no. If you score a touchdown, you could do whatever you want. You could break dance. I don't care. But if you are dancing and you haven't made a catch or you haven't done anything on the football field, I have a problem with that.
There's a part of me at first when I hear that answer from Jerry Rice, I go, is it really a big deal that players are celebrating with all that they've had to overcome this year? And also, you make a big play with all that you risk. Is it the end of the world if someone celebrates? Like, that's like the first reaction. But if you truly listen to the answer of Jerry Rice, all he's saying is do something on the field first before you celebrate. And here's what happens. When you celebrate in a game, which I don't have a problem with, you better go win the game. Because then you open up for criticism when you don't do anything or if you don't win the game. Like, I'll never forget, it was 2006. Divisional round, Chargers had a great team. And when you think of Sean Merriman, you think of that celebration, the lights out dance. So the Patriots and the Chargers had a wild game. Absolute bonkers. Brady threw a pick. Troy Brown then made a nice play, popped the ball out. Pats got it. Gostkowski ended up hitting a big field goal. And then, I want to say, was it Nate Kading? I think that sounds right. I think that was the kicker. Or was it Vanderjack? I don't remember who the kicker was, but a kicker missed a kick at the end of the game. And afterwards, Roosevelt Colvin and a few other players were doing the lights out dance and mocking Sean Merriman. And LT, we brought us up to him when he joins the Super Bowl. He was basically pouting afterwards. Merriman didn't like it either. Well, if you celebrate before you win, you better make sure you win. Because then the other team could throw it right back in your face. And that's what the Pats did that night. So I understand what Jerry Rice is saying. Do something on the field. Don't just celebrate to celebrate. You make a big catch, yeah, you could show some emotion. You have a big win, show some emotion. I don't have a problem playing with a little edge, playing with a little swagger, playing with a little fun. That doesn't bother me with all that these players do risk. Go enjoy it. But I can understand Jerry Rice when he sees someone not even producing. I don't know who he's talking about. I'd love to know who he's talking about. I would love to see who he was so upset about and then if there was actual production. But I could get why a guy who holds himself to such a high standard of greatness is looking and seeing a guy not make a catch and he's on the sideline celebrating. I could understand that from one Jerry Rice. So yesterday we talked about this. Allen Robinson wanted out, then he didn't want out. He removed the Bears from all of his social media profile, deleted all those pictures too, which I think is so petty and so stupid. I have a great amount of respect for Allen Robinson. I think he's one of the more underrated wide receivers, to steal a line for Booger McFarland in our league. So Allen Robinson got a chance to speak to the media today, and here's what he said about his discussions with Coach Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace today with all the hoopla going on the last 24 hours.
Me and Coach Nagy have a great relationship. You know, as everybody knows, you know, he was a big reason, you know, as far as me coming to Chicago. You know, just my belief and, you know, his spirit and, you know, just how he brings it each and every day, you know. So we had a very good and spirited conversation. You know, Coach Nagy's my guy. You know, I've enjoyed playing for him, you know, and he's been nothing but a great coach. My heart and spirit has never wavered. You know, again, you know, what you're saying is part of the nature of the business. You know, again, so for me, I only can, you know, again, control the things that I can, you know, and doing that wholeheartedly, you know, is, again, going out here, being the best player I could be, you know, for my teammates, going out here competing on Sundays, and helping us win games.
Yeah, and even though I like Allen Robinson, you can't tell me that your heart or whatever he said never wavered for basically Chicago when you take the Bears out of your social media profile and allegedly delete all photos of you in a Bears uniform, if that's true. I get it. You're frustrated. You want a long-term deal. You can't, though, make it seem, and maybe he loves Matt Nagy, but you can't make it seem like you love the organization when you took them out of your social media profile. Finally, let's hear from Matt Nagy on his meeting with Allen Robinson today. Let's hear the other side.
You know how we roll here. We talk about things, and so I had a great conversation with Allen. Just excited about where we're at. He's a leader. He's a very important part of our team. As far as the other part of it, that's not my world. That's both sides to deal through that. But I think you know, our players all realize the history that we have here in regards to taking care of guys. You know, and I think it was a really, really good talk that Allen and I had. I think you know, when you have situations like this, it's only fair that both be able to talk. So hopefully, you know, I think he definitely feels good, and you know, he's confident that we want him to be here and that he wants to be here. So that's really the ultimate goal in all this.
He's not going to feel good until you give him a contract extension. Can we just call it how it is? And is it really great leadership when you don't get your way? You basically take yourself publicly off the team, even though you're still showing up. But from a social media standpoint, that's just petulance. That's not good leadership. So the guy made a mistake, and now they're trying to make it seem as if all is good, when in reality, he's not going to be thoroughly happy until he gets that payday. But this could be a big problem in the locker room. Now, they're going to keep him this year, but if you don't bring him back next year, and maybe they franchise tag him, who knows, then that's going to get really contentious. You already have so many players on social media saying, extend A-Rob, Allen Robinson. You don't need any more problems with the Bears. There's already enough players in that locker room that don't believe in Mitch Trubisky. Now you're getting people that are upset with the Robinson situation. Whew, this is ugly, ugly, ugly stuff. And the Bears won on Sunday. They came back and won. Can't even enjoy that for 24 hours. That's what we're in now. Who unfollowed who on social media? Who removed who from whose profile? Ugh, I need an aspirin trying to keep track of all this stuff. We talk about the Nuggets when we come on back. Scott Hastings is going to join us. Former Denver Nuggets player, won a championship with the Detroit Pistons and has been calling Nuggets games for a long time. Don't want to miss it.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We'll get you some tweets right now. McCoy M03 says, how about Tennessee trading for Odell? Could be worth the second and a third round pick and a perfect fit. You know, that would be a good one for Tennessee. I didn't list them earlier. The teams that came to mind right away were the 49ers, the Pats, the Eagles, and the Packers. Tennessee just got Jadeveon Clowney. We'll see if they can make it work from a salary cap perspective. The only thing that would concern me there is they're a run-first offense. They are a run-first offense with Derrick Henry. So would Odell be okay, especially with Ryan Tannehill not being a great quarterback, even though he doesn't have a great quarterback right now, would Odell be okay in playing an offense that doesn't feature him first in the, you know, he would obviously be the number one option in the pass game, but the pass game is not what wins them games there in Tennessee. So Tennessee would be a compelling one. And then I also got from Dellen Wisco, man, being a diehard Packers fan, I honestly would not mind OBJ with the Packers. Like you said, him across from Adams and having Aaron Jones in the backfield with A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers, that would be nasty. No doubt about it, that would be nasty. You go put, think about that for a second. With how the way the offseason was, not getting Rodgers another wide receiver, and they brought in Funchess, but Funchess has injury problems, and not taking advantage of a draft that was filled with wide receivers, and what they ended up doing was drafting Jordan Love. They didn't really address any of the issues last year. Can you imagine if you drop Packers fans a little gift? Rodgers with Odell, Adams, and Aaron Jones. That would be an absolute blast if you're a Packers fan. And not only that, the only time Odell made the postseason, if you recall, at the New York Giants, remember that whole boat incident, which I didn't think was that big of a deal. And I said, if they lose that game, then people are going to make the boat deal a whole lot bigger than what it is. And once again, that goes back to what Jerry Rice said. Don't celebrate. Don't do something that's in the news until you produce and until you win some games. And before a playoff game, you probably shouldn't have done that, but I don't think it was the end of the world. And the next thing you know, they lose that game. Odell doesn't play well in Green Bay. And that was a big talking point. And you could see that coming from a mile away. You could see that coming from a mile away. But if you're a Packers fan, even with the way the offense played week one, I don't be fooled by what you saw in week one. Rodgers carried you. Yes, MVS played well, had a touchdown. Yes, Lazard played well, had a touchdown. And I like MVS. I like Lazard. I'm more optimistic on those two than most. However, when I take a glance at MVS and Lazard being your true number two wide receivers and whichever one ends up being that, that's not something that you want. Those guys are number three wide receivers. Nice pieces on a football team, but they can't be your first or second option. So if you want to put the Packers in a championship conversation, which right now I think the Packers' apex is to win the division. I don't think many people expect them to win a championship this year. You go out and you make a big bold move. And the Packers have had numerous chances in this offseason to go make a big bold move, and they haven't done so. So go on out there. And you go on and you trade for Odell Beckham. And you find a way to make it work from a salary cap perspective. Once again, I'm not going to say it's impossible. If I'm Cleveland, though, unless if this thing is a lot more toxic than we know. And trust me, wouldn't it be the first time where the Odell maybe gives off an impression publicly that's all good and that all he wants to do is win and produce in Cleveland. And in reality, he's trying to plot his way out of town. If I'm Cleveland, though, I think you owe it to your fan base to really ride this thing out for at least this year. And I don't make too many crazy conclusions after 1 week. You got a game tomorrow night up against the Bengals. You should win. If you don't win that game, then the wheels on the train could fall off the track very quickly, very quickly. And this is coming from someone. I was a believer in Cleveland, not to win the division this year, but I was a believer in Cleveland to go to the playoffs. I guaranteed that Cleveland was going to go to the playoffs. After one game, yes, it is concerning to me that Cleveland didn't show up. Is it concerning that they lost? No, but it's how they lost. And when you lose, some teams lose and there's no drama. Other teams lose and there's a lot of drama. And with Cleveland and with Dallas, those two teams specifically, whenever they lose, it always seems like there's something crazy that happens after the game. And we see that with Dallas all the time, and a lot of it is self-inflicted because of Jerry Jones and the way that he runs that organization. And for the Browns, a lot of it is self-inflicted too. And for Odell, I remember talking to Gary Myers, who's covered football for a long time scribe. And Gary Myers said to me, you know, Odell may be saying all the right things now when he got that trade to Cleveland. And he may love that he's back with his best bud in Jarvis Landry. But just wait when they go to Jarvis Landry more than Odell in the game. Just wait for when Odell doesn't get his own stats. Just wait for that. And when that happens, something's going to explode. And I'm not saying that Odell is fully in the wrong, because Baker has not been good. And they still find a way to make things a lot more complicated than what they need to be and get an Odell the football. The excuses, though, for Cleveland, they're done. They're finished. There's no more excuses. Last year, everything was blamed on Freddie Kitchens. Everything was blamed on Freddie Kitchens. Players got a pass. Stefanski, I don't know what he is as a head coach. He's one game in on the job. So when I see after one game people are panicking, I think there's a way that you can come on back and you can fix this situation. And it's a very simple way. You don't need a PhD in football to break this one down. It's going out there and go win games that you're supposed to win. And those next two games are on your schedule. Bengals and then Washington. If they lose either of those games, I'll say it very early that I was wrong on Cleveland. But I'm not going to say that their season's over after one game. And I would not personally trade Odell right now. I do believe that a divorce is going to eventually happen. I do. But I don't think it should happen in this season. Let's ride this out for another year and see where you go. And you look around the league right now, and you go back to that draft. Baker went 1. Darnold went 3. You had Josh Allen go 10. Then you also had... Oh, no, Rosen went 10. I think Rosen went 10 in that draft. And yeah, Josh Allen going to the Buffalo Bills. And remember who was the last pick in that first round? It was Lamar Jackson. We know Lamar has already had an MVP season. We know what Lamar has been able to do in this league. And Allen went in the top 10. He was 7. You look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the first round from that draft. Sam Darnold, jury's still out on him. It is. And remember, that regime that is there right now did not draft him. So he's got to prove something this year. Because next year, it's his fourth year in the league. Then you get into fifth-year option territory. So decisions will be made. You look at Josh Allen. That team probably going to the playoffs this year. Josh Allen did not play well on Sunday. You're lucky you're going up against the Jets. Missed what should have been an easy touchdown pass. Guy was wide open. I think it was Brown. You threw him like 10 feet out of bounds. And you fumbled the football twice. He's got to show me he could take the next step. But probably his team will be good enough where even if he doesn't play great, he'll get an extension there. Guy like Baker, Stefanski didn't draft you. I know Berry was a part of that draft, but he wasn't the GM. That was Dorsey. And Josh Rosen can't find a place in the league. He's now on the practice squad with Tampa Bay after getting tossed by the Cardinals and then tossed by the Miami Dolphins as well. So there's a lot of decisions to make, and I think that's a big storyline this season. Those three names, Baker, Josh Allen, and Darnold, and where the team's level of confidence is with them moving forward, and it's going to be by what they do this year. Let's go to Connor in Green Bay. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a diehard Packer fan, and I'm not so sure about Odell coming to Green Bay. Would he really be worth the price that the Packers would have to give up for him, especially with the Packers not having that much draft capital as it is?
Well, the question is, what is the price? I don't think you're going to have to give up a first-round pick to get him. If people understand that this is a desperate situation and Cleveland truly wants to get him out, you may be able to get him cheaper for them what you think. Because remember, Odell has not had a great season since, what, 2015, 2016?
Exactly.
So it's been a while. 2016 was his last great season, 1,300 yards and had 10 touchdowns. He got hurt in 2017. 2018 put up 77 receptions. Didn't play the final four games, put up over 1,000 yards. 2019 put up over 1,000 yards, slightly over 1,000 with 74 receptions. So, you know, I don't know what the price would be. Would it be a 2? Could you get him for a 3, as crazy as that sounds? Because remember, as good as a player as he is, didn't work in New York. He wanted out. Now in Cleveland, it looks like this marriage is quickly coming to an end. So the price is not going to be as high as you think. If I'm the Packers, and if I'm Gutekunst and also Matt LaFleur, what I would do, if the guy is available, I would inquire and just see what the price is, because you could get your fan base and win your fan base back very quickly. Because how many times, Connor, did you say this offseason they're wasting Aaron Rodgers to not get him enough weapons? This would be getting him a weapon.
That's true, but I think.
Let me ask you a question, this, Connor. Do you think this team right now can win a Super Bowl in Green Bay?
Without overreacting to week one, it'd be a long shot, but I don't think it's impossible.
And do you think you have a lot more confidence if they add Odell and Davante Adams, right? Your chances would go up to win the Super Bowl, right? To put Odell next to Adams.
Yes, you certainly have more weapons, for sure.
So I don't know the Packers' picks off the top of my head, but if you could give up, would you give up a two? You know, in some year, would you give up a two for Odell right now?
Potentially, yes, for sure, if you could work out the salary cap, absolutely. But there's only one ball, and I don't know if you want to take away targets from Adams, because I think Adams is clearly a superior wide receiver in comparison to Odell Beckham Jr. So do you really want to take the ball out of Adams' hands to feed it to Odell just to have him on your team and make a splash, or do you want to just ride with what you got?
Yeah, and I think what you got is not good enough, because you put Adams and Odell on both sides. Even if you want to double Adams, then Odell's one-on-one. Hello, you take that matchup anytime. And here's what could be the great saving grace. It's Aaron Rodgers. Odell played with a bad Eli Manning, and Odell is playing with a bad Baker Mayfield right now. If Odell gets to Green Bay, if I'm Odell and you have to see if you can work it out from a salary cap perspective, I would be kissing the floor. I would be genuflecting to Aaron Rodgers. Because now you get to play with the all-time great quarterback. So, yes, Odell could be annoyed in a game where he gets only four catches for 35 yards because they go more to Adams. But if you're winning games, isn't Odell all about winning? That's what he says. Then we'll really find out if he actually is all about winning. If the Packers go get Odell, I feel a whole lot better than that football team. I do. Because right now you're just hoping that Rodgers carries you the entire way. Their weapons, they have Adams, they got Jones. You know, those are two very good weapons. Other than that, there's not a lot of great weapons on that team. We'll come on back with the closing bell. First up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here's Bob Uecker.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Apologies. We told you we're going to have Scott Hastings in the last segment. We don't know where Scott is, so hope all is well with him, and maybe we get him on throughout that Denver Lakers Western Conference Finals. I like the Lakers in six. And then in the East, I did pick the Celtics in six. May have to go Celtics in seven now after game one. I still think, though, the Celtics win that series. Hey, if you're a Celtics fan, you got to be frustrated because you're up by 12 in the fourth. You don't slam the door shut. You saw the similar thing happen a few times up against Toronto. That team just got to finish games. Now, they were able to find a way to get it done against Toronto, and it didn't come back to hurt them. If you keep on blowing leads against Miami, Miami has a guy in Jimmy Butler that he's going to make you pay. And that doesn't mean that Siakam or Lowry or Van Vliet couldn't make you pay, but Jimmy Butler is just a different guy, a different cat compared to those three players like I just mentioned. All right, it is time for the closing bell. Connor Green, let's ring that New York City Stock Exchange bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I was watching the Islanders and Tampa game last night and also had on the Clippers and Nuggets. And I was watching with a buddy of mine who's a huge Islanders fan. And they're down 3-1. It's game five. You're in double overtime. And I'm also watching this Clippers game, and I'm telling him, because he's not a big NBA fan, I go, the Clippers were up 3-1, and now they're blowing the lead, and they're going to lose the series. And because it was his situation in front of him that he's trying to embark on, being the team that was down 3-1 and coming on back, you know, he's ranting and raving, and he went from, oh, they're not going to win this game, to, oh, look at the NBA. The Nuggets came back from 3-1, so maybe the Islanders could come back from 3-1. And I told him, I'm a Rangers fan. I've seen my team come back from down 3-1 twice in back-to-back playoff series. We all remember Marty San Luis' mother passing away and then him scoring that goal on Mother's Day. And you did have the Rangers come back from down 3-1 to win that series the year they went to the Cup Final. The next year, I'll never forget being in the building. At the time, not knowing David Mayernick would one day be my boss, I was paired up next to David in the press box. And it was like a morgue when the Rangers were down 3-1 in the final minute, 2 minutes of the third period. Lundqvist is skating to the bench, and then Chris Kreider scores. McDonough wins the game in overtime. They win game 5. They win game 6. They win game 7. They end up going to the conference final, trying to get back to the Stanley Cup final, where they did end up losing to Tampa Bay. So last night, Islanders down 3-1. It's not looking good in overtime. They're not getting a lot of shots. Their legs look shot. And you just knew, if you watch hockey, when you think one team's going to win, the other team wins when they have no legs in overtime, but the other team doesn't put the game away. Here is Chris King from the Islanders Radio Network calling the Jordan Eberle game-winning goal in double overtime as the Islanders stave off elimination and force a game 6.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Islanders might have a 2-on-1 here. Lee through the left circle. He's with Eberle down the middle, feeds him, shoots. He scores! Jordan Eberle has won it in double overtime on a great feed from the captain. The Islanders win it 2-1. They stayed off elimination, and there will be a game 6 on Thursday night.
Connor, Dave Mishkin, or Chris King? Who calls better moments?
I think you got to go with Chris King.
I agree.
You know, it's a little more high-pitched, but it's a little less aggressive and I think a little bit more family friendly. So I'm more of a Chris King guy.
I don't mind announcers screaming and losing their mind, but Mishkin does it on every single goal call. And when I was a play-by-play announcer in college, I think I freaked out over every single Temple Owls touchdown too. So I get that. I guess it could come off as hypocritical. When I hear a Mishkin game winner compared to that Chris King game winner, I just think Chris King comes off as more believable with the excitement. And whoever his color analyst is, the dude is jumping up and down. Hey, you got to go check out the video. It's on my Twitter, at Zach Gelb. Stock up to the Islanders for extending the series to a 6 game. Islanders trying to complete a 3-1 comeback. The Nuggets have now done it in back-to-back series, coming back from down 3-1 against the Jazz. And then last night up against the Clippers. Let's hear from Nikola Jokic on what makes this Denver Nuggets team special.
Not quitting. You know, it's... I don't know how we do it. I don't know what kind of start us off, but we are just kind of not accepting that someone is better than us.
So I didn't think I was going to go here. And Jokic was great, had 16 points, 22 rebounds, and 13 assists. Murray had 40. Tremendous story. Can I hear that audio clip one more time? Because this is where my juvenile mind goes. And I get it's on Zoom. The audio stinks. And I've had moments before where I've been on the air and you hear like a weird squeak and then someone accuses you of farting and you're like, what? I don't think I farted at all. Did it sound like someone passed some gas there very early on? Go ahead.
Not quitting. You know, it's...
All right. Maybe some gas was passed or maybe someone was moving something and it would just had a little squeak that was let out. Anyway, incredible job by the Nuggets. They come back. They win the series again. Good luck up against the Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to win in 6, but let's appreciate Denver. Stock up. Next up, Big Ten football. It's back. Now, it was a disaster in how they got the sport back. No one wanted to make a decision. Then when a decision was made, you got worried and fearful that you made the wrong decision. For us football fans and us college football fans, it's great to see the Big Ten back because Ohio State is a serious national contender for the championship this year. So I'm happy, even though it was a mess, that the Big Ten is coming on back. Stock up. Doc Rivers, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. Let me give you a little statistics here. The Clippers led by two at half in their eventual Game 7 loss. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined to score 5 points on 2 of 18 shooting in the second half. Leonard posted his worst field goal percentage in any half of his career in which he attempted at least 10 shots. He was 6 of 22 in the game. The Clippers also blew a 3-1 series lead, marking the fourth time they've lost a series despite holding a two-game lead. They're the only franchise with four such losses. They now have a .333 series win percentage when leading by two games. Every other team in NBA history has a winning record. The Clippers are now 0-8 all-time when they have a chance to clinch a conference finals berth. It's the longest streak in NBA postseason history. And now this is the third time Doc Rivers has blown a 3-1 series lead in the postseason. Doc Rivers stock down, Paul George stock down, Kawhi Leonard stock down, and especially a big fat stock down to Paul George for trying to tell us this wasn't championship or bust this year. It looks like baseball's trying to keep the 16-team playoff format for the future. Why are we playing a buck 62 if 8 teams in each league are going to make the postseason for future years? I get trying something new. I get maybe expanding it to 6 teams. To do 8 teams, though, in each year, I don't get it. Your playoff system works on a traditional year. 3 divisional winners, the wild card playing game, 2 wild card teams. That works. It's exciting. We shouldn't be trying to keep 162 and then go to 16 teams. If you go to 16 teams in the postseason, play what, 135 games? We don't need 162. Once again, it's a terrible idea by Major League Baseball. No surprise here, stock down.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
You're a Jets fan, Connor.
I am.
What did you make of Woody Johnson calling Adam Gase a brilliant offensive mind today?
I have had enough of everybody talking about how big of a genius this guy is.
The QB whisperer.
The quarterback whisperer. We haven't seen any of that genius take place at all since he got hired by the Jets. So I'm so tired of everyone praising this guy's great, brilliant mind.
It's ridiculous. Why is Christopher Johnson even speaking? And there's one thing to defend your coach, but read the room. Don't be tone deaf. Your fan base does not want to hear that you think he's a brilliant mind. You could say after week one, it's disappointing. We still believe in Adam, though. But then you double down and call him a brilliant mind. Stock down to Christopher Johnson. And finally, I missed this last week. Leading up to the game, Sheldon Richardson, Browns, Ravens. He said, I don't think Lamar Jackson turned into Aaron Rodgers no time soon. Lamar Jackson, when they asked about it after the game, he said, yeah, I did. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's still a pretty damn good player. But why are the Browns providing more bulletin board material? Stock down, fun show. Thank you to everyone that made it possible. Talk to you tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. I'm Zach Yelb. I'm out. Peace.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.